It's in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This is the beginning. And this beginning of the Creator's breath and hand flows from Genesis 1, not just through Revelation, but to now. Said, God is always previous. God is always first. And if you have any desire for God or for the things of God, it is God himself who put it there. God has come upon us and he's shared this knowledge of us, of himself and his presence. In Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was can you just imagine God up there, finished, and he said, everything I can. Well, when, in the beginning, God saw all that he made, and it was, and it was, I mean, it really was. As I follow the new older ones, some of you may remember Ray Stevens. 1970, he did a number that was repeated by others. Everything is beautiful. And he started out by singing Jesus Loves the Little Children. And then he said, everything is beautiful in its own way, like the starry summer night, like the snow-covered winter's day. Everything is beautiful in their own way. Under God's heaven, the world's going to find a way. There are none so blind as those who will not see. Everything is beautiful in some way. I think that as Christians, we have this sense that God is reaching out to us and drawing us to him. C.S. Lewis said, the Christian is in a different position from other people who are trying to do good. The Christian thinks any good he does or she does comes from the Christ life inside him. He does not think that God will love him or love him because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. And especially want to notice that which is getting better. And do we really think this is a charge from God? It's more than a charge from God. It's an opportunity from God. But those of you who are with your spouse, take a look at them. Better to look at them than me. Or if you have a son or daughter or a parent or a child or a friend or even a brother. That is a very good gift from God. And in the love of God, we are called to notice the good things God is doing in each of us and each of them. Notice the example we have. God keeps saying, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. If he was a Southern, he was a good. He says, it was very good. And you know when we see something that's good, something very good, something that's graceful, something that loves us, it's that sense of God's creation coming out in us. You know, it adds upstairs. But sometimes in marriage, we don't always and she's such a shy violet. For those that don't know her, you just learned something about her. And though we have times that we disagree, we are called to see that very good gift in each other. Sometimes we're better at criticizing one another than seeing the gift of the Creator's breath and presence in each other. And this week, 7 times, if you only want a day, just look for something and just say, that's a very good gift to me. Notice. If I was my spouse, I would say 7 times 70. And that would be inadequate. But just grab hold of creation and the creative spirit. But Jesus said, if you have loved one to another as I have loved you, then this shall all people know that you are my disciples. It is like living out that love. Because God loved us. In Genesis 2, we see that the man looks at the woman and he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of woman, out of man. It says, for Adam, there was no suitable helper or partner was found. Partner in the contemporary English Bible. Notice that. It says, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And with the fall, we move majorly into the shaming business. There is a difference, by the way, from guilt and shame. Guilt is often something we did or think we did. Usually what we did. And shame is how we beat up on ourselves for what we did. We see that they're afraid and they cover themselves. We see our world that majors in shame. You want to sell a newspaper or get on TV? Do something shameful or find something shameful about someone else. We have no mercy when we move into this dynamic. streaming on the internet. What is it, Princess Kate? I got that right. Someone took a picture, apparently, of her when she thought she was in privacy. And they're sending in different countries the pictures of that to shame her because it sells. I can go back a ways when Princess died. That's so violated by the press around her that they raced until she was dead. The nature of shame is that which makes us flee, that which makes us hide. But God is not into that hiding. And in fact, it says, and the man and the woman, after they had sinned, they realized they were naked, so they sewed some fig leaves together. The man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. It is so much easier to just hide than to take it to God and receive what he's offering us. It isn't really easier, it just seems easier. Steve Brown, a pastor from Pennsylvania, he said, God isn't angry at his people, and he won't be angry at anyone who comes to him. Our sin is big, and God's grace is bigger. It's okay to trust God, because he never makes mistakes. You can laugh and sing and be free, because the Son makes you free. You don't become faithful in order to get loved and get free. You don't become faithful in order to get loved and get free. You are already free and already loved, and that is why it's possible to be faithful. Bad things happen and we suffer the consequences of our own actions. But God awaits not to shame, but to forgive. Not to proclaim your nakedness, but to cover you with his love. It's interesting. The Lord God called to the man and he said, where are you? You think he didn't know? The man to realize that he had created a dynamic in his life where he was separated from God. The God who walked in the garden with, the God who loved him, the God who forgave him, the God who freed them, the God who animated and gave him life, the God who gives us life. Smith said, nothing can separate you from God's love. Absolutely nothing. God is enough for time. God is enough for eternity. God is enough for whatever we have to face. And Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. The fellow once said, nothing you have ever done has shocked God. For he knew what he was getting when he called to you. For those who have been around for a while, how do we play hide and seek with God? Seek him, and he will find you. Actually, he's already found you, but he seeks for you to be aware of him. And then we see bad things happen because of the consequences. The knowledge of good and evil becomes a mixed blessing. In that knowledge comes an arrogance of action that we see with Cain and Abel. All Cain needed to do was seek God and to acknowledge God, the God who wanted to love him. Instead, he was mad at Cain. He used that knowledge wrong. And the people used it wrong, and Noah comes and facilitates in the beginning. In the creation story, in this story of the fall, we see that childbirth faces the woman, and you women with their children know all about that. We see how difficult the ground will be. But you know, in all of this, the God who was with them in the perfection of the garden is with them in the imperfection of our world. The God who created them pure and spotless is with them in the fall, is with them in their sin and their mistakes and their wrong directions. The God who is with them realizes that stuff happens. However you describe it. And he is so with us in that stuff. But C.S. Lewis says, in some ways, it is natural for us to wish that God had designed for us a less glorious and less arduous or difficult journey. But then we are wishing not for more love, but for less. What we say is in the struggle, in the pain, in the sense of separation, in the sense of being overwhelmed, the God of all creation surrounds and welcomes and embraces and loves us more and empowers us more and draws us even more close. Blaise Pascal said, not only do we not know God except through Jesus Christ, we do not even know ourselves except through Jesus Christ. There's a bunch more we could say. It's one of the reasons we love this particular verse so well. Many of us have memorized it. For most all of us, it would be familiar. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It's the world in creation where it's pure. It is the fallen world. It is us. All that drags us down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. But in verse 17, for God gave his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life everlasting. God created for you. God came and walked with you. God died for you. And God goes with you with a wondrous love. In fact, when we talk about God, very good is inadequate a description. Amen.